I'm here with Brother Bernard of, I guess you've been Benedictines of Silver City. Silver City, New Mexico.
Yes.
And you're at what elevation?
We're around 6,700 feet.
Do you have to get used to that?
Oh, yeah, it's a little harder.
Because you came from the flatlands of New York City,
exactly,
didn't you?
Exactly, yeah. Long Island, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's a lot more difficult to breathe up there, especially to chant. So we have to hold our breath for a long time sometimes for some of these chants. So.
Now, but you brothers are, I mean, you are furiously working. I saw the 3D illustration you were showing us earlier today, and who is the other brother that's here with you?
Brother Brendan.
Brother Brendan said, we just finished that wing.
Right.
And I saw you laying what looked like to be cinder blocks.
Right.
But you told me that you can mill your own stone there.
Well, we fabricate our own beams. So we have a mill. We have a wood mill. The Gila Forest is right on boundary. It bounds the monastery on three different sides. So we actually go into the Gila Forest and we help them clear it. And in return, we get very large logs that we mill and we turn them into beams for the church.
So what is the long-term plan for the monastery?
Well, we have about...
I saw your drawing.
Yeah.
It's very... You have some ambitions there to make it a big community.
We're hoping to, you know, probably have... I mean, a good size where it doesn't get too big is probably 50 to 60 monks. It could be even more than that. But generally, you start to consider a new foundation after that. We're up to about 30 right now. And so we have many studying for the priesthood. So we can, we definitely need to expand. Our chapel is very small. We're totally oversized right now. I mean, undersized for our community. So the idea, the plan is to build this. It's about 265-foot long church. That would be a stone church, probably the largest one in New Mexico, maybe in many states, actually. It would be Romanesque, and we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to do it by hand. The monks are going to do it. So
are you going to use cinder blocks, or are you going to mill those stones that you were showing me?
Yeah, we're probably going to have a kind of composition construction. You know, now I'm an architect actually by trade before I entered the monastery. And with our technology, we can still acquire a lot of the beauty of the ancient, let's say, abbeys and cathedrals. For a fraction of the costs with the different, you know, we have steel now, we have a lot of different things, but we were going to build it mostly out of, it would be concrete block, probably with a thick veneer of stone, local stone that we would be using, which is like almost like a granite, a blue granite. It's beautiful.
So I was seeing the pictures earlier too that you were showing me of the boys camps.
Right.
How often are there boys camps?
Usually in the summer we have, a season where, you know, the fathers and their sons, they come out, and we usually try to keep it down to like a van load, like a 15-passenger van load, and they love doing that, and it's kind of good for them. They get to experience the monastic life. They get to, you know, milk the cows and to help. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going
on. Pick the eggs up.
We have chickens. Of course, we have, the Benedictines are traditionally, at least our order was, we don't eat meat. So, but it's kind of a meatless thing. But we have cows that we milk from. We make our own cheese. We make our own yogurt. We make our own, butter and so on.
You don't eat meat. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Never.
No, we're meatless, yeah. No, we're not vegetarians. So sometimes we get permission to eat meat when we travel and so on. You can't, you know, if someone's offering you a meal, you can't say, well, I can only have, like, you know, salmon. So we and fish sometimes is more expensive than meat, but we do it traditionally. It's just it's in the rule. We've had abstinence as a tradition. It goes right back to the 500s when Saint Benedict wrote the rule. So we keep that.
And how long has the monastery been there?
We've been there since 1991. May 13th was the official opening of the monastery, the blessing of the grounds.
Now, were you there in 1991?
I wasn't there in 1991. I was there in 1993. So I've been there kind of the longest after Father Cyprian, our superior. And so I've been there since February of 1990. November of 1993.
So you have Father Cyprian is still.
He's our superior.
He's your superior.
He's our father. So he's in the monastic tradition. You know, you have a father. It's not like some of the other orders, the mendicant orders. They actually they change their superiors from time to time. They actually vote on that, and they have periods where they're, let's say, the prior. But it's the monastic custom. You really have a father, an abbot. That's where the word Abba comes from, right?
Right. Abba
so we actually have a lifelong superior, and we have brothers that are pretty much lifelong. So it's a beautiful. It's more like a family in that sense. You don't really get sent to different places as, let's say, the Franciscans might be sent, or the Dominicans to a school to teach or something. The Benedictine life is really more like a home. And so your home is the monastery, and you're pretty much brought up in your home, and you have a father and brothers, and the whole idea of being installed comes from the idea of being put in a stall in the choir. That's where that comes from.
So my friend Brother Andre Marie took his name from Saint Andre Bessette.
Okay.
Did you take Bernard from Saint Bernard or Clairvaux?
We're given a name.
Were you born Bernard?
Yeah, no, I wasn't born Bernard. Okay. I was actually born Vinnie Marino. So.
Vinnie Marino.
So, actually, the superior gives you a name. You can suggest, I think, three names, but superior sometimes can choose his own name. And as we know from history, in the Bible, reading the Bible, scripture, how God always, the importance of a name with a mission. So God changed the name of Abram to Abraham.
That's right.
And different as Simon to Peter. And so receiving a name is a huge thing in the religious life, and it has a very great significance. So I'm named after Saint Bernard of Clairvaux.
A good name and a good saint, an even better saint. Tell the folks listening at home about the Monks of Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery and the coffee roasting. Because you guys actually roast your coffee there. Did you know that they roast their coffee?
Yeah.
That they're actually roasting it. Brother actually roasted it.
Right. Well, we import from Brazil for the most part, and we also have other coffees that we import. And we roast it at the monastery. We're high altitude roasting, so it's, coffee develops at a certain rate at sea level, but it actually can develop a little quicker at higher altitudes because the pressure is less. So the greatest coffee taste is when you can roast it as quickly as possible at the lowest temperature. And so high altitude roasting is actually kind of very beneficial. We didn't know that until we started roasting, we roasted at a different altitude when we were learning, and then we had to change all our profiles when we got a little higher in the mountains. So that was an interesting process. But basically, we do roast, we do in small batches, and it's very tasty. We're getting really good comments, good feedback from the people who are really loving our coffee. So, it's a good way we're supporting both our monastery and our sisters now. We have a new convent of sisters, Benedictine sisters, in their monastery, St. Joseph's. It's right up the hill. And that's also taking off, and the coffee does help to fund two different monasteries.
So did Father Cyprian choose Our Lady of Guadalupe, or did the founder choose Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Yeah, he was the founder.
Oh, he was the founder. Okay.
He was the founder, yeah.
So a priest can actually go out and found an order?
No, not so much. Actually, Father Cyprian it's a long story, but Father Cyprian was trained through the congregation that originally started in France called La Pierre Cavire. So he was trained under a monk from a daughter house of La Pierre Cavire, and he was asked to start our monastery in America under Archbishop Lefebvre. He was actually ordained by Archbishop Lefebvre.
Okay.
And he ended up he was told that, you know, do the impossible. That was his, and start a monastery because America needs one right now. So
he did.
He did.
He did.
Came here, and we've been doing the impossible now for about 35 years.
So how many brothers are we up to now?
We're up to about a little over 30. And we have a bunch that are coming in, a bunch of postulants, and it's going very well. We're trying to expand. We just built a new wing that'll hold another, I think, 14 more cells for rooms for incoming brothers. So that's really good. But we are, you know, our chapel is way too small, so we're planning this big church, and we really need the kind of the help, and anyone that can support us, we really encourage you to help us.
So okay, so let's talk about this final question. And then for Brother Bernard here, of the Benedictines of Silver Creek,
Silver City,
Silver.
Silver Creek.
I want there to be a creek
Silver
there
Creek's
for some
nice.
Reason.
Oh, that's, there's another monastery. Oh,
Silver City, New Mexico. So my church here, the Crusade Channel. So I was talking to Brother earlier about, can I bring 10, 12 men with me for a week-long retreat for the Benedictine experience?
Sure.
And Brother said yes.
Absolutely.
So how would someone else listening out there, if they want to contact Brother Bernard, if they want to contact the monastery about doing a retreat, which I think is an awesome idea, how would they contact you? And well, what would they do during that week?
Okay. If you go online to Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery.com, and you have to kind of spell it all out, but you will see all the contact information there. You can give us a call, and you can talk with Brother Brendan or one of the brothers there. They'll be answering the phones, and just schedule it. And generally, you know, a retreat is a little bit different in a Benedictine way. Is generally you live with the monks, and you pretty much pray with them.
So it's not an Ignatian.
It's not an Ignatian. It's not a formal retreat so much. You pretty much live the life. And you kind of just live with us side by side, kind of, and go in and out of the chapel at the same times, and you know, keep silence, and that's the huge thing. Silence is huge
Are you a silent order?
Yes, of course. We keep perpetual silence. We're allowed to speak freely only during class when we're asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, there's perpetual silence. And we go on once a week because the Vatican wants that. Basically, canon law wants a day of recreation or at least a time during the week dedicated to recreation. That's when we're allowed to speak freely. That's the only time, actually. Otherwise, we use hand signals that dates right back to Clooney and earlier than that, which is very interesting. So,
and Clooney gave us the Sanskrit, right?
Sanskrit, is that right?
I think it was Clooney.
I don't know.
I think it was Clooney. He was Irish, right?
Clooney was actually in France.
Or was he France?
Yeah, that was okay. In France. But it was the Benedictines, and there was like five holy abbots.
I'll look that up, brother. I'll send you an email about Sanskrit.
Okay.
It's in Father Slattery's book, Heroism and Genius, which you should have copies of at the monastery.
Okay.
It's chivalrous reading. The brothers would love it.
Okay.
So for the gentlemen out there that are considering a retreat, what time does the brothers' day, what time do we begin in the morning?
We usually start around 3 o'clock, a bell will be rung. At like
3 a.m.
3 a.m. And we're in the chapel by 3:25. We have matins, which lasts about a little bit over an hour, depending if it's a high-ranking feast or kind of a ferial day, what we call like a lower-ranking feast. And then after that, we have a period for about an hour, hour and a half of private reading in our cell called Lectio Divina. And we read on our knees with a lit candle. You know, we usually read scripture first, then we could read, you know, spiritual reading. It could be anything from theology to lives of the saints and different things. And usually it's got to be approved by your superiors, the reading. And then after that, then we would have lauds, which begins at 6 o'clock, followed by a half hour of mental prayer, followed by the Angelus, and then we have our morning meal until about 7:30 or so. And at 7:45, we have prime, followed by our first set of classes. And after class, we have our the office of terse, which means everything kind of corresponds to the Roman hours. So terse, meaning the third hour, is actually 9 o'clock. So at 9:15 the bell rings. At 9:30 we have terse, followed by the office of terse, followed by conventual mass, which is a sung Gregorian chant mass, and Latin mass, Tridentine mass. And after that we have you know, a Thanksgiving and then another class or work, depending if it's a work day or a class day. And then that would be from 11 to about 11:45, followed by lunch, dishes, a little siesta. We kind of have our main meal at the noon meal, sort of like they do in Europe. And so the meals in the morning and in the evening are very light meals. In fact, we eat them usually standing up.
Oh, okay.
As a penance. And then at 2 o'clock, after a little kind of rest, it's very quiet time at the monastery. You're not really supposed to be doing anything loud or making any kind of noise. It's in the rule. At 2 o'clock, we have the office of Nonne. You get the word afternoon from Nonne, Nona. And that's at 2 o'clock. And then after that, we have our longest work period, followed by rosary, mental vespers, and then mental prayer, and then dinner. And then after dishes and just a brief period just to kind of straighten up your room and do some little house chores, we have, Compline, and then retire at around 8 o'clock.
That is a heck of a day, folks.
It is. You go to your bed and you're dead tired.
You're done. You're done.
You're done.
Okay. So I want to thank Brother Bernard. Yes, for entertaining my questions, for the work to do. When the brothers are praying, do you pray for a specific intent? Like someone wanted to send a card, brother, I'm having really,
sure.
My mother is sick or something.
Yeah, that's good.
We you just had something in your family, so
exactly.
we were actually praying for you and for
God
your
bless
mom.
You. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, we thank everyone that was praying for my mom, who just passed away on Holy Thursday. But yes.
Good day to go.
Yes, God bless. She was surrounded by her family. It was beautiful, beautiful death. But if you want to send, you can send an email to our addresses. As I said, if you go to Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery.com, you can
send. You have mail service there, right?
We have email and so on. And mail. You can send letters.
So
and also.
Send a letter with $50 in it, a donation, and then your prayer request.
There you go. No, you don't have to do that. We're not into that kind of thing. But yeah, you can call in your request. And we do have a board where we pin up all the requests. And we also have a board of like people who send us their. Cards for let's say when they die, they pass away, and we have a board that we remember the dead as well. So and we also receive stipends for the Gregorian masses if you want masses said and so on.
Can anyone in the area come to your mass on Sunday?
Absolutely. Every office is open to the public. And the Benedictines were always like that. So the gate opens up at around I think around 3 o'clock, and you can come in and attend all our offices, divine offices, so it's open to the public. But don't forget, if you do want to contact us for, let's say, the coffee, it's abbyroast.com.
Abbey Roast.
That's ABBEYROAST.com, abbyroast.com. We also have a pro-life coffee, which raises money for the pro-life movement and for like pregnancy crisis, pregnancy centers and that kind of thing. It's called Cafe for Life, and that's cafeforlife.com. So.
Okay, so Brother Bernard of the Silver...
Silver City.
Silver
Our Lady
City.
Of Guadalupe Monastery.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, the Hispanics have a beautiful way
Guadalupe,
of saying it.
Yeah.
I interviewed Jesse Romero the other day, and it just flows off his tongue.
Right, exactly.
But Mike, what you have to do is you have to pray to Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, they have a way of saying it.
Beautiful.
So far, Lady of Guadalupe Monastery.
Yes.
Our brother, thank you. God bless
God
you.
God bless you, Mike. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
Noon from Nona. And that's 2 o'clock. And then after that, we have our longest work period, followed by rosary, mental vespers, and then mental prayer, and then dinner. And then after dishes and just a brief period just to kind of straighten up your room and do some little house chores, we have, Compline, and then retire at around 8 o'clock.
That is a heck of a day, folks.
It is. You go to your bed and you're dead tired.
You're done. You're done.
You're done.
Okay, so I want to thank Brother Bernard for entertaining my questions, for the work to do. When the brothers are praying, do you pray for a specific intent? Like someone wanted to send a card, brother, I'm having really,
sure.
My mother is sick or something.
Yeah, that's good.
Which
we
you just had something in your family, so
exactly.
we were actually praying for you and for
God
your
bless
mom.
You. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, we thank everyone that was praying for my mom, who just passed away on Holy Thursday. But
good day to go.
Yes, God bless. She was surrounded by her family. It was beautiful, beautiful death. But basically, you know, if you want to send, you can send an email to our addresses. As I said, if you go to Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery.com, you can
see. You have mail service there, right?
Yeah, we have email and so on. And mail. You can send letters.
So
and also.
Send a letter with $50 in it, a donation, and then your prayer request.
There you go. No, you don't have to do that. We're not into that kind of thing. But yeah, you can call in your request. And we do have a board where we pin up all the requests. And we also have a board of, like, people will send us their. Cards for let's say when they die, they pass away, and we have a board that we remember the dead as well. So and we also receive stipends for the Gregorian masses if you want masses said and so on.
Can anyone in the area come to your mass on Sunday?
Absolutely. Every office is open to the public. And yeah, the Benedictines were always like that. So the gate opens up at around I think around 3 o'clock, and you can come in and attend all our offices, divine offices. It's all open to the public. But don't forget, if you do want to contact us for, let's say, the coffee, it's abbeyroast.com.
Abbey Roast.
That's ABBEYROAST.com, abbeyroast.com. We also have a pro-life coffee, which raises money for the pro-life movement and for, like, pregnancy, crisis pregnancy centers and that kind of thing. That's also, it's called Cafe for Life, and that's cafeforlife.com. So.
Okay, so Brother Bernard of the Silver...
Silver City.
Silver
Our Lady
City.
Of Guadalupe Monastery.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, the Hispanics have a beautiful way
Guadalupe,
of saying it.
Yeah.
I interviewed Jesse Romero the other day, and it just flows off his tongue.
Right, exactly.
But Mike, what you have to do is you have to pray to Our Lady of Guadalupe. But, you know, they have a way of saying it.
Beautiful.
So Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery.
Yes.
Our brother, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Mike. We're praying for you.
Thank you.